In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we give Him praise and thanks for His mercy and His goodness to the members of the human family, that whenever any member of this family strays from the straight path and earns his displeasure, before he punishes, he always raises up from among the people a prophet, a messenger, or a warner, to whom he gives what is called divine revelation in the form of scripture. We thank him for Abraham. We thank him for Moses and the Torah and the Israelite prophets who gave us what is called the Old Testament. We thank him for Jesus and the gospel and the apostles that gave us what is called the New Testament. And we thank him for Muhammad ibn Abdullah and his companions. And from Muhammad we have the Holy Quran. Peace be upon these worthy servants of the Most High. I am a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I could never thank Allah for his merciful intervention in our affairs. In the person of a great master, Master Farid Muhammad, who came among us and taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and left him to teach and guide a nation toward not only freedom, justice, and equality, but to make us to know that we are no longer forsaken, that we are beloved of God. Yes, sir. And our sojourn in America was fulfillment of divine prophecy, that the people of Abraham would go into bondage in a strange land among a strange people and would be afflicted in that land for 400 years. But after that time, God wouldn't send somebody. He would come himself to see after this people and raise from among us one like unto Moses. We thank him for his coming. We thank him for the consciousness and the wisdom that he gave to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that I have spent my life sharing with people all over the world. I thank Mr. Guevara and our wonderful patriarch, Mr. Dudley. I thank him for his love. And as Brother Guevara said, not only his love, but his reverence for his teacher. As I was a little boy, I heard of S.B. Fuller. I heard of the work that he did and the people that sold his products throughout the nation, who became independent, and he made them entrepreneurs. So for our great brother on his 79th birth anniversary to be celebrated for continuing the great work of his teacher and predecessor, I'm honored to be in his company And I am honored to stand in front of nearly 1,000 entrepreneurs that really are the backbone of the economic development and salvation of our people. I should greet you all in the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. The enemy has never wanted to see us economically powerful. And every effort that we have made to become economically strong, the architect of that economic strength was always labeled as anti-Semitic. From Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington wanted us to be economically free. The great Marcus Garvey came from Jamaica to meet Mr. Washington. He so admired Booker T. Washington that from Booker T. Washington's book, which he read, it started Mr. Garvey in his consciousness to raise the consciousness of black people in America and throughout the world. All of us are standing on the shoulders of somebody else. And none of us will live long enough to completely solve the problem. But each of us in our time has a function to perform and a mission bigger than just being an entrepreneur. That's the start of it. But what is the mission of the entrepreneur? It is not just to make money to fatten the pocket of an individual or a family, but the entrepreneur is the bellwether. They are the ones who signal to the people, we are present to supply our people's needs. The sad thing about our meeting today is we don't realize that we are still colonized. May I speak very frankly, please? Now, many of you would not like to think that we are in a colony. But a colony is an entity that the land that they're on really is taken over by somebody else. They work in the colony to feed the colonizer. And at some point in this great nation, the 13 colonies decided enough is enough. And they rose up against the King of England. And today we have the United States of America. But we didn't come on the Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria. We weren't looking for a better place. We came in the holds of ships. And the enemy knew that he had a product. Not a human being, but a product that he could use to build a country that we were never supposed to have equal justice, equal opportunity, and real freedom in. Yes. So whatever city you live in to do business, look at how many more are in our community doing business that don't look like us. You can't go down into Chinatown and set up no Egg Foo Young business. The Chinese would walk by. In fact, you wouldn't even have a store. They wouldn't permit it. But here we are, a colony. The education control from the outside. The politics control from the outside. The spiritual teachers, preachers control from the outside. And all the colony agents have to go downtown seeking some support from the benevolent master. If you don't see yourself as being colonized, then you will never make the move to really become free. Have you been to Koreatown? We all like nice long hair. And we love our feet looking pretty and our nails being done. The Koreans have set up 90,000 stores in the black community. And they will not bank with any black bank in the black community. They take the money out and bring it back to their community. And we are the ones who are building the immigrants into powers economically while we remain weak and impoverished. I'm talking about the mass of the people. Now, if there are members of the NAACP here, that's where I started my consciousness, through my mother. But I didn't know that the NAACP was established by black people, but white people along with them, that did not want that organization to deal with economics. The theme was non-economic liberalism, whatever that means. But the first part is really clear, non-economic. So you could fight to change a law. You could fight to clean up black and white fountains and where blacks are buried. We could bury along with white people. We could make that kind of fight. But the fight for economic strength would lead to war with them. And when we get to a certain point in our economic development, it appears that they give us an offer that we can't refuse. And all the great businesses that our giants have established for us, that gave us pride in that entrepreneurial skill of Mr. Johnson in Chicago with Johnson Products. 750 people he employed. But who got the building now? Who's running it now? All of the black hair care people Somebody else is fixing our hair now. Even when we were frying it. We made the product that we use to give ourselves a little straightening out. But there's another product in town from Mr. S.B. Fuller and Mr. Joe Dudley and Mr. Elijah Muhammad and Mr. Garvey to straighten out what's under the hair. BET was ours. Now it's gone. Essence Magazine was ours. The other Mr. Johnson worked hard with Ebony and Jet and other magazines to put a building on Michigan Avenue in Chicago that we as black people who didn't live in Chicago could come to Chicago and be proud of what black people did. Now white people got the building and we got Ebony. Even now they're coming after the funeral directors. We used to be the ones that bury our dead. But now since we're killing each other so great, the white man said, that's a lot of money. So he comes in town and now we have a white person burying us with a smile. This is serious, brothers and sisters. There's a new spirit among our people. They really want to buy from their own. When we decided by studying the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when the garbage men in Memphis went on strike, and Dr. King went to see about them. The night before he was assassinated, he started talking about redistributing pain. He thought, and rightly so, that when we're in pain, we have to inflict pain on those who inflict pain on us. Now, Farrakhan, wait just a minute. This sounds like revenge. No. It's called retaliation for injustice. So Dr. King said, we should go by these big white companies and tell them that the Lord sent us by here to talk to you about your mistreatment of his people. Now, if justice for us is not on your agenda, we have something on our agenda. We're going to withdraw our dollars from your companies. Then he told them, take your money out of the white man's bank and put it in your own. Yes, he did. He said, don't buy Wonder Bread. Don't buy some of the products that were sold by whites to blacks in Memphis, but nobody cared about the little man. So this year, we said, let's boycott Christmas. I didn't say boycott Jesus. In fact, Christmas has become nothing more than a mockery of Jesus. using our love for Jesus to make it into a commercial enterprise where you go and spend money that you don't even have with big white business passed by black business, struggling, and spend your money with those who don't care for you. So we decided this year we were not going to participate. We're going to have Christmas, but in honor of Jesus. Instead of getting drunk in his name. I don't know how many of you own liquor stores. Not too many. But all in our community are the liquor stores. The Arabs are there. They know how to greet me. Assalamu alaikum. And I greet them back. But some of them are selling foods to our people that even a hungry dog would walk by. How are you going to tell me that you deserve to be in our community and feeding us less than good food, mistreating our women and girls, and selling us drugs on the side? Colony, that's what it is. White police. They're not protecting your business. They protect the white business in our community. We never did like Walmarts. Elijah Muhammad didn't have too much good to say about Walmart, because when Walmart comes in the community, they put out of business little small entrepreneurs like you and lower the price, and we run spending our money with them and watch black business close down. So this is war. And if you're not a soldier in the economic battle for justice and freedom, then we're going to lose. I don't want to spend too much time, but beloved brothers and sisters, we boycotted from Thanksgiving all the way to the first of the year. I didn't realize how successful it was, because we toured the country telling black people, no, up with Jesus, down with Santa. Up with Jesus, but down with Santa. Send this fella back to the North Pole. Let him take his reindeer. Because why would you celebrate Jesus with a lie? Telling your children that a big fat Caucasian is going to drop something down a chimney that you don't even have. So we shut it down. And guess what? Several Walmarts closed, you know. Macy's, 40 stores closed down. Oh, yeah, all the big ones, Target, bad shape. The money that comes through our hands, $1.1 trillion this year, last year, pardon me, is enough to make us the ninth richest country on earth. And other nations that don't have that kind of economic strength use less than we get to support schools, hospitals, farms, factories. And we are looking at this, and it doesn't seem to inspire us to want to get up and really do business. So the theme of this was capitalism is the real path. I don't say I totally agree with that, but I do agree with our exercising the will to set up our own businesses. That is a way to get to freedom. You can call it capitalism. You can call it what you want. But doing something for yourself, that's the way to respect and recognition as a people. Now, I know I got to say something tomorrow night, so I don't want to be too long today. But you know, God helped us. He saw we were trying to close them down, give them a little pain, you know. And God said, well, I'm just going to make the weather warm. And all the money that they had invested in all the winter gear, that helped them to close their businesses down. And as they closed down, I said to myself, maybe we need to go behind that. The Lord sent us by here. Did you have enough yet that you are ready to do justice by us? You know, dear brothers and sisters, S.B. Fuller showed us a way at a time when maybe we didn't know that there was a way. Mr. Fuller was a creative genius. His products gave black people without jobs, jobs. Now, how many of you are producers of a product that you would like to get sold in your store or in the community? How many of you have a product that you made? Would you raise your hands, please? See, now that you need an outlet for your product. Mr. Johnson, bless his heart, Libya loaned us $5 million to create personal care products. We were going to follow Mr. Fuller. We went to Mr. Johnson, and we went to the black bank and had the money sent from Libya to a black bank, $5 million. It never touched our hands. It went from Libya to a black bank. I sat down with Mr. Johnson. We were going to make products, and when members of the Jewish community heard that he was going to make products for me and the Nation of Islam, they told Mr. Johnson, Mr. Johnson, if you do anything for him, we will not distribute your product, and we will close you down. I said to Mr. Johnson, Mr. Johnson, let's circle the wagons and let's fight this. He said no. And he stopped making any advancement in the products that were being designed by his company for us. And then, as the chairman of the board of Independence Bank, he and the president of the bank came to my office and asked us to take the money out of their bank. You didn't hear me. I was so hurt because we look up to our economic giants. But in reality, most are midgets. Now, I'm not putting us down. We are midgets in the eyes of the business world that takes our money and they don't look favorably at us. Now, of course, when you're doing business, you go to a bank, you get loans, and you try to make your business successful. Some of us have stores, one on this corner, one in the next corner, but we don't have unity. The Greeks, they're in the community, but when they buy, they go to the market as a unit, buy cheaper, sell cheaper, capture the market. So we've got to know how capitalism works. It can work for us.
Yes, sir.
But we are not working it as we could if we learned how to, as George Frazier, if you listen to him, he's telling you about linkage, about networking. We don't think like that, brothers and sisters. So we lose. We're so individualistic in our capitalistic mentality. We're always competing with each other instead of uniting, pooling resources, and expanding good for each other. That's capitalism, but it's intelligent capitalism.